Kevin Wilson, but I'll assume that it is. Because this is normally the time of the month where we would be hanging out with him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram is only like, a couple three woods away from here?
That's all. If you can get a good roll on I-30,
I think
you can knock it down.
I wonder what, if you did a deal where people hit it down concrete, I wonder what's the furthest you could possibly hit it on a flat piece of concrete up with your driver.
Before it stops?
Before it stopped eventually.
It'd be fun to see the longest putt you could make if you can get it online. Have you ever seen they do that at some basketball games?
No.
What they do is I went to a few other SEC games around. I think they did it at
Huge
Ole Miss.
Dirty hooker.
I know, right? And at timeouts or halftime, they'll have a guy with a putter. A fan gets out and is on one baseline underneath the basket, and they have a big circle. I don't know how big you would say. It's much bigger than the size, maybe 2, 3, 4 sized basketball. And you have to putt it the length of the basketball court and try to get in the little hole.
That's an accomplishment.
It is.
The best thing I've ever seen at a game, at UCA one time, I saw a kid from like the 40-yard line throw a Nerf ball through a car window and he won the car.
Oh, really?
It was during halftime of like homecoming. It was really cool. Anyway, you don't typically see that. I saw a guy, the other thing I remember in college they had to do, they do shoot 5 for 5, and if you made all 5, I think you won a car.
Wow.
Because my buddies.
We have to do layup, free throw.
No. It's like 5 jump shots. It was like around the circle. And I don't think they were all threes, but maybe like 3 of them were threes. Like the corners
were
threes.
That's not bad.
No, it was pretty.
For a car? Was there anybody playing defense on you?
No, there was a 3 from the corner, 1 from the wing, 1 from the free throw, or maybe top of the key, 3-pointer, another wing shot, and then I think it's 5 threes, though. Maybe it was 5 threes.
That's motivation right there.
My buddy's family owned the car company, though, and they only gave away one car, I think, the whole time. They did the promotion every home game for years, and I think they only gave away one car. You think about it, though. Again, we were talking about this yesterday, where you get in a situation where after you've done a couple of things towards a goal, it gets in your head. So whether it's a no-hitter, trying to hit for the cycle, trying to hit 4 home runs in a game, which you really can't try to do, if you start thinking about that kind of stuff, or if you got a great round of golf going and you start thinking about it, it leaks into your head. In fact, it's funny because the leader at the Travelers yesterday, this was hilarious because I'm like, that is exactly what I'm talking about. I'll read you the quote here. This is, by the way, Ken Duke. We're going to hear from him in just a second, Matty T. So if you can get that ready, we'll hear from him first.
Defending champ.
He is the defending champion. You don't get to say that very often. But Ken Duke with a great opening round 65. He's 3 strokes back of Brendan Steele. Brendan Steele actually went from the long putter back to the short putter before the U.S. Open. Didn't make the cut, but liked the way he was putting. Sticking with it, and apparently it's working because he shot an opening round 62. That's 8 under par. He says, what did he say here? On 14, I started to think 59, which is probably why I slowed down a bit. I mean, he was lighting it up. He starts thinking, holy crap, if I keep this up, I might shoot 59. Next thing you know, he only shoots 8 under par, which is pretty awesome anyway.
Yeah, I like the stretch. So many times you see a guy who's playing well and almost wants to protect that lead. It's almost like playing the prevent defense in the NFL or college, I guess. In football, if you're up by a big lead, you play the prevent. How many times have we seen, have you sat in front of your TV set when a defense is playing the prevent defense and the offense continues to just chip away?
How many times are you watching that with a guy who's above the age of 60? We'll call him Tommy Smith just for argument's sake, who says, all the prevent defense does is prevent you from winning. Every time. It never fails.
I kind of like this guy, though. He's got a big lead and he says, you know what? I'm going to extend the lead. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to crush. You know what you kill an ant with? You know what you kill an ant with?
A sludgehammer?
A sludgehammer.
That's right.
I
appreciate that. Have you seen the line on the United States, almost of the Arkansas, the United States World Cup game this Sunday?
Oh, man.
The United States is plus 260 against a beaten-up, suspended team from Portugal.
No Pepe.
You got an injured Ronaldo. They had another kid with a he's got a pubalgia injury.
Hey, listen, the pubalgia is very popular over in soccer.
You bet $100 on the United States, you win $260. They were also an underdog against Ghana. I like the United States this weekend. I think they're going to beat Portugal.
What if you bet on USA and it's a tie?
I think it's a wash.
Well, can I get money? I mean, but they're such an underdog, I can't even make money on the tie? I mean, come on, man.
I don't think so, no.
Okay, what would you give me?
What would I give you for a tie?
I think that's a fair. I mean, what? 100 to win?
So I only win if the United States loses? And you win if they tie or win?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I'll tell you what. I'll bet against you if you bet just they tie. If they win, you lose. If they tie, you win.
I'll take that bet.
Okay.
You want me to tell you why?
Why?
What I've learned from soccer is this. You play to control the game.
You play to tie the game.
No, you don't play to win the game. You play to control the game.
You know what's amazing? That's a great point, because I saw England control the game yesterday, and they still managed to lose.
Oof.
Your boy Rooney finally got his first goal. He's like 62 years old. He's played in like 18 World Cups. Finally got a goal, but England loses. They're out, statistically speaking. They're done. Spain is out, one of the favorites.
How about that?
So as a United States fan, you know Sunday's huge, and if they can somehow either tie or win, that Thursday game we're going to be hanging out. Although I will say this, if they lose, the Thursday game against Germany becomes unbelievably important, and if Germany's 2-0, they aren't going to give a crap whether they win or lose, because they've already advanced out of pool play. So that Thursday game, either way, is going to be unbelievably fun to watch. We're going to be doing the lunch hour show at Jim's Razorback Pizza on Thursday on the Highway 10 location. I'm excited about that.
So you're going to take it on? You're going to take it on to tie? I say tie.
No, because I'd have to bet against them. I don't want to bet against the United States.
Say 1-1. No, we want a tie. We're fine with ties.
No, I'm not fine with ties.
I mean, I know you're not. Donovan McNabb isn't.
I'm not betting a win against a tie, and I'm not betting a lose against a tie. Because I don't think a win's overly likely. I don't want to bet on them to lose.
Who's the biggest degenerate in here? I'll bet you. Oh, he pointed at Justin.
Thank you.
He pointed at Acre.
I did win money on women's basketball. I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm not ashamed of it either. I'm sorry, I'm not sorry, to quote Roger Scott.
Women's basketball expert right here.
Yeah, that's right. Here's the idea. Pick UConn whenever you can. No matter how many points they're given, take them.
Anyway. Good point. That's a good system.
Back to the we're going to talk about the Women's U.S. Open next, but before we move away from the Ken Duke thing, Ken Duke, again, defending his title, and apparently he's not feeling any pressure. Played well. Bubba Watson also, of course, was in the mix last year. He had a good, solid first round. I think he was 3 under par. It's a par 70 course. Ken Duke with an opening round 65. He's 3 back of the leader. Here he is with the folks from PGAtour.com after his opening round, 5 under par.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know how I was going to feel, to be honest with you, but kind of shaky early, but I got off to, you know, made a couple birdies there, but left a few out there, hit a lot of good shots, and finished it up on the back nine, which is really great. Really great.
I thought it was a really good ball striking round for you. You hit 15 of 18 greens.
Yeah, that's my game. If I can get that flat stick going, you know, I can maybe compete with these guys a little bit, but it's that's what I'm working hard on, and it feels good, and just maybe a few of them go in the rest of the week.
You know, you only have 26 putts.
That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, that is a good thing. 26 is a good number when you hit that many greens. And a really nice birdie for you to polish it off as well.
Yeah, it was. That was a very tricky read right there. I thought it might go left, and I thought it might go right, so I closed my eyes and knocked it in the hole.
Yeah,
so
you put it right in the middle. Good job.
I'll take it. I appreciate it.
You hear that? Even the pros. When in doubt, just close your eyes and hope for the best. I can't tell you how many times, and it probably happens to us a lot more than it happens to guys like Ken Duke, where you go, I have no idea what this putt does.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I tell you then? When we're in a scramble, hit it at the brown spot.
Just, I'm like, which brown spot, Justin? Mm-hmm. That's a good point you say that is, a lot of times it's just, what is your best guess, right? And it happens a lot of times in sports. But the difference is Ken Duke has a much more narrow focus on how to miss and where to miss. And if he were to miss, where can he hit it to miss to where his second attempt would not be as bad? Like, I hit it. And it could end up anywhere. At least he misses, and it ends up 2 feet beneath the hole, and he's got a nice little uphill.
Well, you see the pros, they seem to, they're not afraid, especially if they're not quite sure on the read to firm it in the hole. And then if they got a 5-footer coming back, they're not that worried about it.
Straight uphill.
That freaks us out. I mean, nothing is more devastating to a golfer who's bad like us than a 5-footer coming back.
That's straight.
Yeah. You turn a 7-footer into a 5-footer. That's all you gain. Or you turn a 3-footer into a 5-footer. I've done that too. That's the most frustrating thing.
I can't hit it straight. Tell me it's a little bit crooked.
Exactly. Straight putt is the hardest thing to hit. There's no question.
Hit straight?
Yeah, that's devastating. Coming up in a minute, we'll talk more about the U.S. Women's Open. There are a couple of great storylines involved there. And, oh, by the way, tip of the cap to our own Stacey Lewis, who leads by one stroke. And we'll talk more about her and some comments she had, not in regard to her own game, but in regards to another competitor. But let's get Sterling in here right now. If you want in today, 433-1037 or 1-800-477-1037. You can also send us Keith Lee Service Company Live Fan Feedback through our Listen Live button. And you can email us, which is almost old-fashioned now. It's The Zone at 1037thebuzz.com. What's up, Sterling?
Oh, nothing much. Man, you had a nice little monologue right there. I put out so many topics, I almost forgot what I wanted to talk about.
Well, whatever you want to talk about has got to be good.
So I wanted to talk about the 84 draft. I think today's the actual anniversary of that draft, and everybody wants to always like to point out the Sam Bowie before Michael Jordan. And my problem with that is that it's much like the Durant-Odom thing. At the time, nobody was saying Durant's going to do this. There's no way you should take Odom. Of course, everybody says it now, but at the time of the draft, all that everybody could talk about was how weak Durant was. If you're going to be able to take the pounding.
I'd like to go ahead and say it. I was absolutely on board with Odin. I thought it was a no-brainer pick. I was totally wrong.
Absolutely, I was on board with him.
And then people talking about his bench press. I was like 180. He couldn't bench press 180 pounds, stuff like that.
He did like one rep.
Yeah, and same way with the Jordan deal. Now, I know Bowie had some injury problems at Kentucky, but when he was healthy, he was a dominating force. When he was healthy, and they already had a two guard by the name of Clyde Drexler, you know, that top 50, that Hall of Famer,
yeah,
two guards that they already had, the best player in their franchise history, was already on board. So it didn't make sense. It didn't
close
make sense
second to Kevin Duckworth, but yes, I see where you're going.
The Duck.
It didn't make sense to them to draft another two guard. Now you probably could have moved Clyde if you wanted to, but I can see they thinking. And for a team that bossed up that draft pick right there, to still build a team, if it wasn't for Michael Jordan, was a team that did they go to the finals 2 years in a row? Two out of 3 years, they still had a very good team that poured, and like you said, Duckworth and Kersey, and they still was able to build a good team. I just think the hindsight 2020 deal, it's easy to look back now and say, yeah, they should have took Jordan. But at the time of the draft, nobody was out there beating the drums to take Michael Jordan. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. The thing is, you look at him, and I'm not comparing Vince Carter to Michael Jordan, but he's another guy that looked the part, had some great moments in college, but you never thought, gee. And he never was up to the level of Jordan in college, but he did. He was a dominant player. I mean, and the fact that his career's lasted so long is impressive, but he's another guy that jumped another level once he got to the pros.
Well, there's no question. Yeah, you look at Jordan's progression, and you're right, where his freshman year, he surprised a lot of people that he was in the position to be on the floor to beat Georgetown with that jump shot. Sophomore year, just gets so much better. He's ACC Player of the Year. Junior year, gets so much ACC Player of the Year. So every year, it's kind of like, okay, we know this kid is good, but how much better can he actually be? Then his rookie year, he just shoots out of the atmosphere, mm-hmm. right? And then his second year in the league, obviously got hurt, but came back. So, I mean, you could tell he was on a trajectory to the top, but you never knew how high. You never knew when he was going to get there. So it was, listen, watch that 1984 documentary. NBA TV had it. You could probably check it out, still on there, maybe even Netflix. It goes in detail on that.
Just to be totally
and Rondo, angry. I mean, you can go on and on listen to players how they elevate the game when they got to the pros. But, like, Rondo's another one. I mean, who thought Rondo would
didn't
be?
Didn't see it. I didn't think the kid from Kentucky was going to be very good, or Memphis.
Derrick Rose?
I didn't think Derrick Rose was going to be nearly the pro he is.
It's how they fit into the game,
I'm
guys.
Wrong a
you
lot.
Know that. Listen, even Kevin Durant, you talk about his strength. The game, you know, there are people who will say, well, in when Michael Jordan, those guys were playing, it was a much more hands-on type of a game where you couldn't do the pushing and shoving now, which kind of helps with these guys who maybe aren't as physical to be able to score as much as they do.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard Rick Barry, or maybe you didn't hear Rick Barry.
Try to ignore him.
He said he'd average 40 in the league right now, which maybe not 40, but it's just defensively you can't do a lot of things you could have.
What do you think
ago.
Pete Maravich would do right now? That means he'd average 55 then.
That's a special dude, man.
Yeah, it was. God bless him.
Yeah,
still appreciate it.
Have a great day.
All right, too. And just to be anal, because that's
ahead.
What we do.
I like it.
I hate being a corrector. I just looked it up because I had no idea when he pointed out this. The 20-year anniversary was technically yesterday.
Ooh!
Burn! Not that it matters, but you know my point is it was a great draft. It's one of the most memorable.
Five Hall of Famers.
That draft, the 84 draft in the NBA, the 83 draft in the NFL. What's the Major League Baseball draft that's the most notable?
Man, the draft.
I have no idea either.
It's tough.
The problem is they have 714 rounds.
And they're right. It's so many guys.
Who else was in Clemens' draft? That was an 83 draft, wasn't it?
Ooh,
my high.
We can pull it up.
Landis, best Major League Baseball drafts ever. Unless Matty T,
like
if you got it off the top of your head, I'm interested to know what you think because I have no clue. Also, Matty T, if you could, let's look up the most memorable MLS soccer drafts.
Hey, I will say this. The LeBron James and D. Wade's draft also was Carmelo Anthony.
They were in the same draft?
Chris Bosh.
LeBron and D. Wade were in the same draft?
Can you imagine that?
No, like Dwayne Wade seems like he's like 10 years older than him.
I know.
That can't be right. Are you sure?
Yeah, because all those guys, I'll give it to you right now. All those guys, it was just amazing how they were all still linked. LeBron went 1, Carmelo went 3, Chris Bosh went 4, and Dwayne Wade went 5.
And 3 of the top 5 draft picks on that are on the same team, and I've never even heard this before.
They could, if,
how'd I miss this?
If Miami pulls off what these rumors are with Carmelo going, do you realize the top 4 out of the top 5 picks in the 2003 NBA draft could play together?
That's unprecedented. That will not happen. There's no way. There's no way they can make that work with the cap.
It's a great draft. Your boy Kirk Heinrich was in that draft.
I don't like him. Speaking of
you don't like him?
The Heat, no, I can't stand him.
Speaking really? Of the Boris Diaw was in that draft.
He's a traitor. He's a traitor. He's a,
that's right.
He's a Confederate.
Yeah, that's true.
He went across enemy lines and went over and played for the Jayhawks.
My bad.
Anyway, we are going to talk about Riles, who was the coolest guy alive, as Patty pointed out earlier today. Also, Women's U.S. Open. We'll talk about both those coming up after the break. And we're going to get some information on the best Major League draft ever. And I need some how many Hall of Famers you got in that draft? And I'll give you a pass on Roger Clemens because he should be. What's up, Tide fan Steve?
Hey, guys. Current betting odds based on Bovado. Is USA is plus 300. Portugal is minus 125. And if you bet 100 on a draw, it's plus 300. So that tells you right there, just on that Portugal is a very heavy favorite. And
what's the United States again?
Plus 300.
Oh, it's plus 300 now. It's going up.
Yeah.
But the draw. So here's what I don't understand. Okay. So you can bet on. I guess you could still lose if you don't bet Portugal, but if you bet, you could bet $100 on plus get plus 300 on the United States, or bet on a draw with $100 and get it at plus 300. So if either one of those two things happen, you're going to win $100.
But you have to not you can't bet on both of them for $100 and get either one. You get to choose.
You bet them both. If you bet them both, all you got to do is pay the juice. Then if either one of those happen, you win $80. But of course, if Portugal wins, you lose
$200 wager. Yeah. It's a $200 wager, but then if Portugal wins at all, then you know you're out the $200.
Sure, exactly, but that's not going to happen. I think we all know that by now.
Hey, right. I'll take it. You want to take my action, Tide fan Steve?
I'll tell you what. Here's what I'll do. You're just wanting a tie. Is that correct?
Of course, we're talking about internet dollars.
No,
radio
no, hold
dollars.
On. No, how about this? How about this?
Okay.
How about
can
this,
you bet
Bradley?
Bitcoin?
Okay, you're just saying it's going to be a tie, right? All I have to say is it won't be a tie. Okay, so the next time y'all are at Razorback Pizza, the next time you're at Razorback Pizza,
Thursday next week.
Okay, I will buy you a pizza if you win. Otherwise, you buy me the lunch special so I can get the little pizza and the salad bar. For
my good deal.
If I win,
I'll do it. But here's the deal. You know. I was over at Wild River Country yesterday with my shirt off.
He's sexy.
Yeah,
We
saw the blinding stuff in Maumelle from the glare off of that white chest. Because I mean, it was coming through the trees.
Well, the
and
white chest
else.
wasn't the bad part. It was all the rolls that were along the white chest that was the bad part. So I'll do salad bar. You want to do salad bar for salad bar? I'll do it, bub.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We'll do salad bar.
Okay.
Salad bar for salad bar, and that's your wager, and I'll see you Thursday.
All right, Steve, thanks. We are at Hurricane Golf and Country Club, Bryant, Arkansas. We are benefiting. We are raising money for. There is a golf tournament underway now for the Boys and Girls Club of Bryant. So we'll talk more about that. We're going to visit with the director of the club, Scott Dews, a little bit later, and hopefully one of our friends from Landers will pop in and see us. I assume that Rodney Moneyback Plack is over here since he is the facilitator of our remote today, so I assume that he'll be around at some point as well. We'll visit with him. We need to talk about Women's U.S. Open and Pat Riley still being the coolest guy alive. We appreciate Matty T holding things down in the Fury Electric studio. I miss your Musk. And also, a tip of the cap to Tyler, who is back in the studio helping out as well. And, of course, we've got our intern, Landis, or as Pat calls him, number one.
And the other guy's number three.
He's two. She's three. Switched.
She did a morning
shift. Oh, she moved up.
She did a morning shift.
Oh,
plus,
wow.
I know her family. All right, here's
Tyler, you better step your game up.
Here's a fact for you. This year's NBA Finals had six players that were drafted in the 2003 NBA Draft. Six guys that were drafted in
11
the 2003
years ago?
NBA Draft. I mean, with that knowledge, you kind of get an idea of, you know, how teams are built. And, I mean, but you think about there's 12 guys on each roster. Right, so you got 24. Six out of the 24 came from one draft.
That's like 25%-ish.
I think that's pretty high.
That's a pretty impressive number.
I haven't done the math of, like, the other finals, but you just get an idea of when these guys, how long it takes for them to become physically and mentally at the top of their games. So it's not...
Or close enough to the top where they can contribute on a championship.
It's not often you come out of the chute playing an NBA Finals.
No doubt about that. I do want to mention, I talked to...
Out of the womb.
I've talked to three of our four contestants. They have all lost 10 pounds or more in the first 5 days.
I want to know how fatty Fatty was pigskin preaching.
Fatty Fatty 2x4, he'll have to tell you.
How fat were you, pigskin?
He's lost 11 pounds. He's actually leading the pack from the guys I've heard from. There's one gentleman that I've not heard back from yet, but I want to congratulate Todd, who has lost 10 and a half. And we had another Tommy has lost 10, and then the Pigskin's lost 11. So these guys are jammed. They're all in double digits.
Pigskin, if you lose, you're not welcome back in the zone.
Oh, wow.
We don't have losers.
He told me today, and I quote, "I'm going to win this competition even if I have to cut off an arm at the end."
Now that's the guy that I want playing on the zone.
That's what I told him. I said, "You're sick, but I appreciate the dedication. I really do."
Hey, I'll visit you in the hospital, Pigskin. Just don't lose.
He's going to be laying there waving at us with his one hand. How do you get a one-armed preacher out of a tree? Anyway, 501-791-6795. Too soon, too close to his theoretical arm cut?
Yeah.
Man, my bad. 501-791-6795. NewCreationsHCG.com. If you want to lose some weight as well, and these guys are off to a great start, I can tell you, Roger Scott, myself, both have benefited. The three folks in our, three of the four that I've talked to at least, in our Faith versus Fat 14 challenge are all in double digits. Is it a coincidence? I don't think so. I think this actually works, so why don't you get on board with it? It's New Creations Medical Weight Loss Clinic in The Rock, 501-791-6795.